I have to admit, one of my favorite times preaching during the quarantine was when I preached Psalm 139. I don't know how many of you got to hear it, but I loved it because I focused on three of God's attributes. His omniscience, that he is all-knowing. His omnipresent, that he is all-present. And his omnipotence, that he is all-powerful. I love studying and reading on the attributes of God. And I think it's fitting for us as believers to pause and to think about the God in whom we worship and the depths of his greatness before us. And so as I've mentioned already and in our email, before I get back into our series on John, I wanted to take this month of August, these next four Sundays, I think it is, and focus on some attributes of God. And this week we will consider God's immutability. That's the technical word for it, but it means that God is unchanging. He is immutable. He does not change. And I thought this was fitting, considering all that we've been experiencing since just March itself. Look how much the world has changed just since March. I mean, look at our seating arrangement and the mask on our face just from March. When 2020 rang in, it was, every pastor tried to be creative. I did a little five-part 2020 vision in 2020. Well, let me just tell you, I never saw this coming. I'm not a prophet, and I don't think anyone else did. But here's the great news, that even though we have been experiencing things with COVID, we see the riots and our government in an upheaval, seemingly the government giving edicts that change day by day, and there's so much uncertainty, I thought it would be important to look and to see that as the world around us is wondering, are sports going to be back? What are we going to do with schools? The restaurants, they're different. Grocery stores and nearly every business has been affected. It has changed. There has been changes from the normalcy. But no matter what, we have to remember, it's not just a March to August thing. The world is always changing. We live in a world, and as people, we're always going to face change in our lives. You know, from the minute we're born, we're headed to death. We're dying. Your bodies are changing. Your life is changing. Whether it's just the changes that we go through from aging, as we see many in our congregation dealing with these things. Or maybe it's just kids as they've grown up and you've changed grades. Or your job, as Jim prayed for his sister and many others, jobs and family life and family structure. Upcoming marriages are coming. It's going to be changes for family and for churches. Or when we get news about health, which many have, that can send a shockwave through your body, it brings a change that was unexpected. It interrupts your schedule. Or relationships have changed, some for the better, some for the worse. And God brings these to our attention as we come to his word today. But I want us to be reminded, in the midst of all this change and what we can often call chaos, there's one constant that does not change. And I want you to see what it really means for us. That we need our hope and faith anchored in something unchanging. Something that is objective, that is unchanging. It is not subjective, that is bound to change. And so today I want to remind you afresh, and I hope you are gripped with this news, that we worship, we serve, we trust in, and you live from this unchanging truth, that we have an unchanging God. That's the best news you're going to hear today. You're not going to get it on the cable news network. You're not going to get it in your newspaper. It comes from outside of yourself, and it comes from the Word of God. And I want you to dig in here with me. Think of Malachi 3:6. This is going to be the overarching text, but we're going to hear a bunch of texts. I encourage you to write them down. Go back and meditate on them. But as we begin today, I want you to hear that God is unchanging in His essence. Now, this is important before we go any further, because we hear in Malachi 3:6, he says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." And as we seek to unpack what he means, we need to first begin, though, by asking the question, what do we mean by essence? You see, the essence of something is that which makes it what it is. The attributes that define it. As humans, as individual people here, our essence consists of our mind and our will and our soul that is contained in a physical body. We know that as essence of humans, as each of us are unique in God's eyes, it is different. And we all have unique traits, but we all share in this essence of mind and will and soul contained in a body. We also know that if you're around animals, that our essence is different from an animal. But I want us to realize that as we talk about this, it's very important to begin here because God has an essence. But it's a unique essence because it is divine. Because God is divine. It is a divine essence, meaning that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are equally divine. They have the same essence. They are one God in three persons. Yes, they each have distinguishable roles in what they do and what they fulfill. But let us never forget that there is one God with the same will, mind, and power. We don't pit the Old Testament God versus supposedly the new. There is one God, same essence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want you to see here, though, one of the reasons why God does not change in His essence, in His being, in what makes Him who He is, what defines Him, is because He's everlasting. See, this is the word we need to hear when we get the medical news, when we have a hurt, we have a loss, we have an upset of our agenda or our calendar or our to-do list. We have to hear that something has to be greater than things that we can't control. And I want you to hear, first off, that God is unchanging in His essence because He is everlasting. Psalm 93:2 says this, "Your throne is established from of old. You are everlasting." Psalm 90, verse 2. Says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Before these mountains that we see that have been here since all of our days, before they were even thought of by man, God was. He had formed that before He formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, He has been. Well, what does that mean for us? How does that even have anything to do with what we're going through personally? Well, here's what it means. God is what He always was, and God is what He always will be. Remember back when God met Moses at the burning bush, and He said, "Take off your shoes for you're standing on holy ground," in Exodus 3:14. And He said, "Well, who are you?" And God says, "I am who I am." That means I am the infinite, eternal God who is unchanging in His perfection, in His very essence. And this would be the one whom Christ would come and take on flesh. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." God's story has not changed. We don't have an Old Testament God and a New Testament God. We don't have a God of wrath and a God of grace. God is perfect in all of His attributes. He is not like a cucumber that you chop up into pieces. He is the sum total of all of His attributes. And one of these is He is an eternal, everlasting God who is unchanging in His essence. It means this for you. He is never more or less than He is. He is not becoming anything. We are growing older, all of us. We are becoming different from what we were even last week. But God, He is not changing. God is not developing. God is not in the school of learning. He is not still in graduate school to try to figure out things. He is not developing or learning anything. He is perfect. He is reliable. He needs, lacks, or wants nothing. This is the God in whom we've come into the presence of this morning. He is the perfect one. His knowledge and power can never be any greater or less than it is right now. Now, that's good theologically, and that's accurate, and that's accurate biblically, but it's sometimes hard to believe personally when you go through things. Well, God, if your power is the same one that could part the Red Sea, why won't you heal my body? God, if you are the same one that can take dead men and call them out, why can't you heal this relationship? God, how come I'm still struggling with this if you can do that? Well, that's the game plan of Satan to throw us up, because God is greater than anything temporal that we can see only by our eyes of flesh and faith, but dimly, because we are a creature and not the Creator. But I think it's important that we look here, that not only is his knowledge and power never greater or less than it is now, he can never be wiser. He can never be more holy. He can never be more merciful or righteous than he is now. Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. It's your call to worship. I snuck these all in here for you because I wanted you to hear these. But listen again what God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit says. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end. The earth changes. Along with everyone and everything in it. I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to prove that case today. And then what the Word tells us is, and it's all going to pass away. But so where's the hope? Where is our anchor laid down, dropped? Well, it's in this constant, this one constant that will remain and has no end. And that is God, the eternal, unchangeable God, has no beginning or no end. James 1, 17. Listen to this beautiful truth that James lays before us in James 1, 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. We're going to sing that at the end. There is no shadow of change in thee. Thou changest not. This is the one in whom we entrust our lives to. There's not even a hint, folks. I want you to get this. Or even the slightest chance of a change in God. What the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always been, they will continue to be. I would challenge us that this truth needs meditated upon and needs to get down deep into your bones. It needs to pulsate through your bloodstream. That God in his very essence is always been and always will be. He is unchanging. But then there's some greater truths even for us as we think about this unchangeableness, because he's unchanging in his plans. Look here with me as we think about this next topic. Is if he doesn't change in whom he is, that means he's going to be unchanging in his plans. See, once we've established from Scripture that God's unchanging, you can be assured that he's unchanging in his actions. You can trust his plan. God's plans do not change. He's not like us, who are subject to change plans and change directions at the drop of a hat. You know, an unforeseen circumstance can throw off our plans, or even a better offer, or you just don't feel like doing something. Well, God didn't ever act this way and never will act this way. Psalm 33:11. Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generation." The counsel of the Lord stands forever, his plans of his heart for all generations. It's important as we come to this truth that God's knowledge of all things and his will and his ability to bring things about are always in perfect harmony. You agree with that? That's hard to believe, though. I think it went right over you. And I'm going to say it again. See, God's knowledge of all things and his will and his ability to bring things about are always in perfect harmony. How does suffering work? You know, oh, man's choice, and yet God is sovereign. God's not biting fingernails. He's not worried. But it is a battle to believe, is it not? That if the one who's unchanging his plans and has the ability to execute all that he says, how does this, whatever your this may be, make sense? How can this be true? And then I want you to hear this glorious truth of Isaiah 46, 8 through 11. If you want to flip there, you can. But I want you to hear this as we unpack this truth about God's unchanging plans. Because here's what he's telling us as a church and as individuals. He says, remember this and stand firm. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to your mind. Brothers and sisters, you want practical application in sermons? This is it. Remember. Stand firm. Recall it to your mind. You transgressors, remember the former things of old, he says. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient things, and ancient times, and things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. Who can speak like that? Who can speak like that? There is no man, no woman, no child on earth that can speak in this manner. This means on a large scale, like the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, from all eternity, folks, planned to create the world and everything in it, all the way down to the smallest, most minute details of our lives. It's not only the all-powerful, eternal God who can declare the end from the beginning. He is the only one who can declare the end from the beginning. Things not even happened yet. January, nobody saw a government shutdown, churches not meeting for long periods of time, mask wearing, social distancing, these words that we just accept now, flattened curves, you know what I mean? All these language that become a part of our life. We didn't see that coming. God did. God is sovereign. And all the way down to every little detail of your life, every report that you get, every step that you take, every mistake you've made, every sin that you've caused. God is in control and knows. He's the all-powerful and eternal God who can declare. You need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. The church needs to be reminded, because if you look at our culture wars, it looks like we are losing big time. Like, why are we still in the game big time? But that's when you got to come back to the unchanging truth that political and disease and nothing else gets the final word, but God alone does. And we need to be reminded that God accomplishes all his purposes and plans. He accomplishes all his purposes and plans. When God speaks, it is as good as done. He will do it. Just think, if you are a believer in here today and you have trusted Christ for your salvation before the foundation of the earth, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had a plan. A plan to save a sinful and a rebellious people that included you and includes me. Before the foundation, before the mountains were formed, God was, and he decided to save a people like you and me. The plan was for the Son of God to take on flesh and to secure our salvation. And as history unfolded, or let me say it, as God's plan and purpose unfolded, Jesus came, did he not? And the same plan of salvation has not stopped. So you might say, well, I've been a believer X amount of time or X amount of years. But guess what? God is still saving you today. You have been saved. You are being saved. And you will be saved. That's the unchanging plan of God. That all that the Father gives him will come to him. And no one will snatch him out of his hand. no disease, no job, no boss, no employer, no political party can take you from the Father's hand. No one can take you from the plans of God that He has for you. That He alone is the cure. And if they can take our body, they can't take our soul. We will be with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Either we are healed and we live, or we die and we live. Because God alone has a plan, and He says, I will see it through. And this is the one in whom we must anchor our soul and be reminded of. Think on these things. Remind yourself. Look back to the times of old. God's plan is unchanging. He is still conforming His people. And it is hard to think of some of the things that some of us are walking through, some of you individually are walking through or have walked through, that God is using that to make you more like Him. I don't have a reason, or I don't know all the reasons why, but I just know that what He says is true. That God plans to conform us to His Son by the work of the Spirit. It's still the same. We know that our lives are not based on random chance or the roll of the dice. God's perfect plan includes every minute detail of your life. No matter what you're walking through, know God is good, and what He allows is for our good. And do not let Satan and do not let the flesh tell you differently. You're going to have to battle. That's why it's called spiritual warfare. It's not called retirement warfare. It's not called vacation warfare. It is spiritual warfare, where we take up the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God, and you have to remind yourselves of what's true. But He's unchanging. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When all the sinking sands around us may come, He is our unchanging hope. Get your eyes on the Savior. Get your eyes on the objective truth of God. Because often, and many of us, many of you are walking through right now what Paul himself learned and taught and modeled for us, that we are to count it all joy, is it not, to know Christ. And that is easy for most of us, to count it joy to know Christ. But then he put in there, and to suffer for Christ. I hate watching my people, I hate watching my families and those I love, and you do too, suffer or walk through things. But Paul says, it's not accidental or aimless. The Word of God teaches it's not accidental or aimless. God's plan for us can be trusted. Even as the world around us seems out of control, we can stand upon the unchanging rock of our salvation. He doesn't change in who He is, in His essence, His being, His person. He doesn't change in His plan, His redemptive plan, His sanctifying plan, His returning plan. You can take it to the bank. But he also wants to remind us one more here, that God is unchanging in His promises. How many times you said, you going to be there? Yes, I promise I'll be there. I promise I'll get that done. And yet we know so often we've broken our promises, or others have broken promises. And I think as Christians, we know these truths, but when life gets real, it's when it hits us hard, when the physical and the spiritual get involved, we can begin to question, is God concerned? Is God concerned? Is He able to really do all He says He can do? And Satan loves to drop in, has God's concern for you changed? Does He really care? Nobody cares. Does He really love you? If He loved you, then He wouldn't blank. You fill it in. That is the great tool of the enemy, as I've already spoken on. And so we must be reminded again that God keeps His promises. I want you to get this. He is unchanging in His promises that He has made. He has given His word and He keeps His word. There would be no comfort in this life, folks. We would be selling a bill of goods if in this life, for the believer, God changes. If He's not the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, then we have no hope. It would be a miserable place to live and a miserable life to live. That this was all random chance, roll the dice, that we had to wonder and check the wind and check our actions every day and wondered if God is still in control. If God could change His mind or not follow through with what He has said, where would our hope be? Let me give you a little hope for today and tomorrow and every day that God gives you. Numbers 23:19. As the pastor, you'd say, hey, don't take it from me. Take it from God. I'm here to give you what He says. And this is what Numbers 23:19 says. God is not a man that He should lie, or son of a man that He should change His mind. Has He said and will He not do it? Or has He spoken and will He not fulfill it? I'm going to ask you that question. Hey, tell me something in your life that God has spoken and not done it. Tell me something where He will not fulfill what He says. Because if you can find it, then we can discredit our whole faith in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I want us to just break this truth down a little bit. Break these truths down in light of what's before us. Unlike man, unlike you and unlike me, God does not lie. He does not change His mind. When and what He speaks is exactly what He intends. He's not frivolous with His words. Take Him at His word. Eat this word. Savor this word. Feast on this word. Drink it deeply. Let it go deep inside of you. He is not frivolous. He doesn't talk out both sides of His mouth. He is not a politician running for office. He is the King of Kings. You don't make Him Lord. He is Lord. We don't ask Him for control. He is in control. This is the God who says, I am not like a man who changes his mind or lies. He does not lie. There's not a place in all of Scripture where God has not spoken, and not fulfilled it. This is the daily spiritual battle for believers. We need this reminder. God is faithful. He doesn't change His mind. His promises stand. We need to be reminded that the God has promised then that He is still saving a people, still bringing a people, even through the chaos of our world, through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded that what He has promised isn't changing. We need to stand firm in this culture, in this world, and in your own homes and in your lives. God hasn't adapted His world to modern culture, to their feelings, or the teachings of man. Jesus just isn't one way to eternal life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. If you've not come, today's the day to come to Christ. But as believers, we need to be reminded of that. His promises and eternal life is for all who believe, but He also promises eternal damnation and judgment and wrath for all who don't believe. That's sobering. This is where our prayer and efforts should be, to see men and women and children come into the kingdom. Because He promises that. Where His word goes out faithfully, He's going to bring His people to Him. No matter what you're going through right now in your life, or what you may go through, you need to take God at His word. You need to take God at His word. Cling to those promises. Apply. Meditate on. Get you one of these this week and don't let it go. Wrestle with God. When's the last time you wrestled with Him? God, I know what Your word says, but I don't feel this. You seem far away. How long, O Lord? When you got down with Him and just wrestled with Him for a while. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, it feels too heavy for me. When you got down with Him, when you go get honest with Him, this is what He's saying, because I'm unchangeable. I'm not going to cast you off. I bought you at a price. You're mine. I love you. I know what's best for you. You're weak, you're sinful, you're fallen, and you need me. Come to me. Come honestly to me. But that's what we got to do. We got to seek to obey these promises, because He ain't changing. Our Savior is not changing at all. His love for His sheep isn't changing. His love for His church isn't changing. Our salvation isn't changing. The success of His church isn't changing. I'm going to leave you with this scripture of where I read in our New Testament. It comes back to this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. This is bad grammar, but this is right theology. He ain't changing. He ain't changing for nobody or nothing. You got to get that. You got to get that in you. To walk in a manner where we have our hope anchored in something has got to be in something that's not changing for anything or anybody. You can build your life upon this promise of God because He is unchanging. All around us is in a state of change. You got to find that place, and that place is actually in the person to anchor your life. the unchanging God, because the anchor holds. There's a song, I should have tried to get it to Amy before and I didn't. Hold to God's unchanging hands. I'll close with this. These lyrics of this song, these words are so appropriate. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. And the chorus says, hold to His hand, God's unchanging hand. Hold to His hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's pray.